T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
We will have an NFL draft in less than a month. We have had what I think has been an insane time of NFL free agency, with the quarterback carousel going as crazy as we've ever seen it. And we talk a little football with one of the best, Charles Davis of NFL Network. Charles, Evan Roberts here in New York. How you been?
I've been well, Evan, and I hope the same for you and those close to you, your family and friends, and anyone who can hear our voices. I know New York State, where I grew up, it's been a tough, tough time. With everything that's going on, and my best to all the first responders, all the people on the front lines doing so much trying to help us all. I hope we can all find a way to stay safe.
Thank you, Charles. And these guys and gals on the front line have been awesome. And it's amazing. The thing about America and New York, man, they come together and they battle. And like I was saying, for us, our job is simple, and that's just to stay home. That seems rather easy, you know, just to do that while they're doing real hard work for us on the front lines, like you said.
No doubt. No doubt.
I was saying this before, man. This NFL free agency, first of all, it serves as a great distraction for all of us from the real world. But this has been, from a quarterback perspective, as crazy as we've ever seen. Phillip Rivers, Tom Brady, Cam Newton may not even be able to find a starting job. What's your impression on this craziness we've seen, the quarterback carousel of 2020?
It's exceeded the hype. Because we went into the offseason with the idea that it could be a crazy quarterback carousel, didn't we?
Sure.
I don't know that we truly trusted it would be as crazy as it is, because rarely have we seen this, and I would say probably this is unprecedented. Because for the bulk of my lifetime, since I'm 55, we didn't have the ability to move around players like we do now, right? I mean, when things happened back in the day, it was truly a blockbuster, you know? Fran Tarkenton going from the Giants back to the Vikings, you know, that sort of a deal. That was a big deal. Joe Namath asking out from the Jets on Johnny Carson. You remember that one?
Yes.
He told Johnny Carson, hey, you're not about to play in Los Angeles. And with new ownership, Walt Michaels coming in, that happened. But for the most part, this type of a thing, and especially a guy like Tom Brady, because I'll be frank with you, I thought that when the whole thing started, when the carousel quit spinning, he would still be in New England. So I was way wrong on that.
Yeah, I think we all kind of assume that. Like, at the end of the day, they'll find a way to make it work. And the sense is, Bill didn't want him back. I mean, that's the sense I certainly have, especially with the reporting over the last few weeks, that whether it was the amount of money, whether it was just, hey, I want to do it on my own now, that Bill kind of wanted to move on from him.
Yeah, and I think that it felt to me that Tom Brady was of equal mind, but if he had been shown some type of love, and I'm putting quotes around the word love, however you want to define it,
right,
that might have been what he needed to come back. And to me, and again, I'm an outsider, so I'm not sitting here telling you things like I've had a conversation with anyone that would be close to this, even counting Kevin Bacon 6 degrees of separation, all right? I've talked to people who cover the team. I guess that's about as close as you're going to get. But I'm not inside the inner circle of Brady or Belichick or Mr. Kraft. So let's just make sure we put that on the table. But from the outside, Evan, you know what it feels like to me? Just show the man the love that he expected, because I did hear Bob Ryan, the great writer in Boston, say that there were 11 different times by their research that Tom Brady took either lesser salary or restructured his contract to help the Patriots. And I think he was just looking for them to say, you know something, all those years, appreciate it. Here's $30 million.
Right, right.
And I think that probably would have swung the balance, again, an outsider's perspective. But when he didn't get that, I think he was okay at that point. Okay, maybe this is time for me to go. But I'm sure he took one last wistful look over his shoulder as he headed to Tampa Bay.
You know, besides losing Tom Brady, we've seen Kyle Van Noy. We've seen Jamie Collins. They traded Daron Harmon. They look like a different team. And I don't know if this is just the knee-jerk reaction I have as a Jet fan, but it's to assume the Patriots will win 10 games anyway. You know, Bill is that kind of head coach that you could take all that talent away. You could have Jared Stidham at quarterback. You could have Brian Hoyer at quarterback. They're going to win 10 games. Is that Jet fan whiplash, or do you feel the same way about Bill?
No, it's not Jet fan whiplash. It's kind of been proven over time, although this is going to be the biggest one, because this is a mass grouping of all this. In the past, don't you think, Evan, we felt like it's been one guy at a time, so to speak. Like, you know, Richard Seymour gets traded. Well, whoa!
Right.
Where'd that come from? Yet they continue to keep going, right? You look up and he decided to part ways with Randy Moss. You know, and most of the time when he parts ways with someone, he's proven correct. All right, who was that running back at the 200-yard game? Jonas Gray?
Yeah, Jonas, the immortal one. Jonas Gray, yes.
Right? He has 200-plus yards on Monday Night Football. He's on the cover of Sports Illustrated, and his alarm doesn't work, and he's late. And we pretty much never saw him again. Right? It's just off to go. But this one feels bigger, not just because of Brady, but you named a number of guys now who are switching teams. It kind of puts a spotlight on Buffalo in a big way. And you know the old expression, if not now, when?
Yeah.
In Buffalo, if you don't win the division this year, based on who we're seeing, I like what Buffalo's done in free agency as well. I think other teams are trying to get there, but I'd have to say Buffalo would have to be the solid favorite right now. But do we sit here and call them the absolute favorite? No, because we've seen this work before. Remember that one year that Tom Brady got hurt in the season opener, the Patriots did go 11-5
that year, and by
a fluke missed the playoffs.
Yeah, no, you're right. They went 11-5.
Oh, by the way, that was Matt Castle, the quarterback.
Yes.
And I'm just going to give it to you real quick here. Well, I was covering a lot of college football then, all right? Matt Castle lost a pitched battle for the starting quarterback job at USC to one Matt Leiner. It was really, really, really close. People don't know how close it really was. Leiner takes over. You saw what happens with him. At one point, when I was covering USC games, on my boards, I can pull it out and show you with my spotting boards, Matt Castle was 13th tight end and was also on the punt team as the personal protector.
Wow.
And he turns out to be an NFL quarterback. So that just tells you, you never know how things are going to turn out the way when you look at them on the surface.
Talking to Charles Davis, I'll give you another team and player that I think is going to have a lot of pressure this year, and that's the combo of Phillip Rivers in Indianapolis, because Phillip did not have a good year last year. I mean, it looks, unfortunately, like he may be done. We'll see this season. Mm-hmm. He needs that doesn't need the championship, but the championship gets him into the Hall of Fame. As of now, he's kind of a borderline guy, and Indianapolis was a big disappointment. I know the Andrew Luck thing took them by surprise, but they were 5-2. They were playing real well, and then they collapsed down the stretch and end up having a 7-win year. So you have a talented Colt team, the veteran quarterback looking for that one great team success. What are your expectations for Phillip in Indianapolis?
Well, I think they're the same viewers he did look like at points last year. Was it a Thursday night game I was watching? I think they were playing Thursday night later in the year. And to your point, it just looked like, wow, are we seeing the end?
Yeah.
You know, I remember watching it. I was on a flight, actually. I even forgot who they were playing. But I was like, wow, it just doesn't look right. But he's 2 years removed, when I say 2 years, one season removed from only throwing 12 picks and 30-something touchdowns. So can that come back for him? I certainly hope so. He's in the right environment. Head coach was his OC in San Diego. Quarterback's coach was his quarterback's coach in San Diego. I mean, and he's now the OC. I think a lot of things are going into play for him well. And remember, the Colts weren't sold on Jacoby Brissett based on Chris Ballard, their GM's comments at the end of the year. I thought a big part of the reason they collapsed down the stretch were injuries. They got beat up. Brissett's trying to play her. Things just didn't go right. They're still a very talented team. And you're right, there will be pressure there, because if Phil wants that ring, and I think he's going to get into the Hall of Fame regardless, but he'll move up his timetable.
Sure.
If he at least imagine if he gets to the Super Bowl, his timetable moves up. If he gets to an AFC Championship game again, his timetable moves up. That's what he's looking for right now. Obviously, he wants to win the whole thing. But for us as fans, the timetable will move up on his Hall of Fame jacket if they have a deep run into the playoffs, and he's guiding that and playing well.
Well, speaking of Indianapolis, they made a big deal. They traded their first-round pick for DeForest Buckner. What'd you think of that move from their perspective and then also the Niner perspective?
For the Niner perspective, look, Buckner's one of their better defensive linemen. I know Nick Bosa gets all the attention, and deservedly so. He's a heck of a player. Eric Armstead's a heck of a player. You know, they picked up D Ford. We know how deep that defensive line is. Can't pay them all. In today's football, you and I both know something's got to give. And Buckner brought the most value for them because you're not trading away Nick Bosa. Okay? So Buckner brings them more value probably than signing Eric Armstead or just trading Armstead and signing Buckner. So I think John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan looked at that and said, if we have to sacrifice one, who brings us the most value? And Buckner became that guy. They signed Armstead. Obviously, Bosa's going into a second year. And for the Colts, that's a big deal. Because think about the division you're playing. If you're gonna right now, Tennessee is kind of the hot team in there, even though they didn't win the division. How do you stop Tennessee? You got to tackle Derrick Henry.
Yeah,
that's what Buckner brings to the table: ability to play inside, play against the run, and of course rush the passer from inside as well. But you know what it's like, Evan, in NFL football, you build your team first to win your division. And on defense, you got to tackle Derrick Henry, and that's a big deal.
Yeah, it's tough to do. I mean, we saw that during the playoffs last year, man.
It's a whole lot of people trying to tackle that big man.
Yeah, no question. We're talking to Charles Davis about the NFL. To Brady, real quick, because I think this is the million-dollar question everybody's going to be asking this offseason, then once the season starts, and that's, all right, Tom's in Tampa. They have a lot of weapons on offense, and I think they have a lot of individual talent on defense, even though it didn't statistically turn out that way. They gave up the second or third most points in the league. But what are the reasonable expectations for how good Tampa could be? Is it winning the division? Is it being a Super Bowl contender? Where do you kind of put the Tampa Brady expectations at?
I think it's reasonable to expect them to contend for the division. Look, New Orleans is clearly the team everyone's chasing, but it wasn't that long ago. Didn't we say the NFC South was every year the most volatile division in the NFL?
Right.
Teams were always going from last the year before to first the next year. It was a lot that went on. Atlanta feels like they can still make that kind of a move. Carolina, I think, is true rebuild right now. Even though they picked up Bridgewater, I think that's where we're headed for them, just at least to start the season. So I think contending for the division, because I think you put your finger on something we don't talk about enough. That defense has a lot of individual talent, but they've got to continue to shore up the back end of it, because that's where it's all going to come the cropper for them. If Todd Bowles is a D coordinator and wants to continue to play the style that's made him so good as a defensive coordinator, that's pressure. You got people to cover on the back end, and that's been a struggle for them. They've got the guys up front who can rush them. Jason Pierre-Paul will be fully healthy this year. You know, remember he had the car wreck last year. Shaq Barrett may not have the big numbers, but he'll play. I think it's a reasonable thing for them to contend for the division. And with Brady, if you just get into the playoffs, he's the guy that no one wants to face. That's how teams look at the playoffs. Who's playing quarterback that we're playing against? Who do we have to fear? Brady strikes fear in everyone's heart.
All right, let's look at this draft, which is going to happen on time. First of all, I do find it comical when I hear unnamed GMs say, oh, my God, this is so difficult. We're going to screw it up. Most GMs screw up the draft anyway. So what the heck's it? Now you've got yourself a little built-in excuse to use.
First thing I do is run to my owner and go, remember, the commissioner made us keep this on time, but we didn't get to talk to everyone.
Yeah.
That's my first thing. And most people, when you really put their feet to the fire and you say, what are you evaluating most on? How many of them come back and tell you the tape?
Right.
It always comes back to the tape, right? What the kid did during his time in college. Yeah. I totally understand. If I'm them, I'd ask for more time too, because meeting these kids face-to-face and try not to make an error in terms of judgment of character, what you're getting out of a kid, especially ones who may have had a few bumps in college, I totally get that. But everyone's in the same level playing field. Everyone knows what's going on there. And this is my theory, Evan. Don't know if I'm right. But in the NFL, you have teams that basically are scout and GM-driven in terms of the draft, and you have some that are coaching staff-driven, meaning they give their coaches a lot of sway. and what they like in terms of drafting. Coaches can't start watching prospects if you're doing your job well as an NFL coach until you're out of the playoffs, right? Your season's over. That's January. So that's condensed January until the draft. And most of them haven't watched these kids in prior to. This is their first real experience with them. I think teams that are scout GM-driven who have watched these kids for 2 or 3 years and compiled better dossiers on them may have an advantage in this year's draft just because they may have more information going in. But in terms of everything else, we're all shut down at the same time. Mistakes happen anyway. I'm not trying to be cavalier about it, but I understand why GMs want more time. But I think the commissioner's made the right move. Let it proceed on schedule. The NFL owns, absolutely owns, the sports landscape right now because they were fortunate enough not to be playing ball.
Right.
So they didn't have to shut that down. But doing business hurts no one because you're not violating any rules of engagement that we're trying to do now where you can social distance by phone and cut a deal. It's not a big deal. And fans are not upset over this. I heard this prior to that. And a lot of people saying, this is tone deaf. We should be doing this. The fans don't seem to have a problem with people signing for big money because they know they're going to sign for big money anyway. We know. We get it.
Charles, you know what the deal is?
People engage.
Those who think the NFL is tone deaf, they're tone deaf because the fans don't look at it that way. The fans aren't going to say, oh my, how could you give Tom Brady $30 million a year when this health crisis is going on? We know there's a health crisis going on. It's affecting all of us, but that doesn't mean we don't want NFL free agents to sign, which they would do 2 months later anyway. The same thing would happen.
As soon as we're through the crisis, he's going to sign for the same money, and people are smart enough to get that. And it's not bothering them to that extent. What would bother us if the NFL was playing and said, we're going to keep playing? That would bother us.
Right.
And the NFL was the one big league that didn't have to confront that. They were able to kick that decision down the road as we see what our experts are going to tell us, like Dr. Fauci and the rest of the people who are the smart people in the world are going to tell us when we're able to do this, when we're able to go. Until then, we know we're on hold, but the NFL can continue to do this type of business. I think keeping the draft in the spot that it's in was a smart move by Commissioner Goodell and people. And I did get a kick out of his memo because it felt like a league of their own. Remember Evelyn? When my husband, when he's home reading the want ads, he said, just take the kid and shut up about it.
Right.
Essentially, what Commissioner Goodell told the teams, hey, we're having the draft, now shut up about it and let's go.
Right. Now stop complaining or I'll fine you.
Yeah. Exactly. You're done here.
We all assume, I think rightfully so, that Burrow's going number one. About him, though, how good is he? What do you look at as the ceiling for Joe Burrow in Cincinnati?
I think it's a good ceiling because I do believe that there's still more play in him because, remember, he's only been a starter 2 years in the NFL. I mean, in college football. Because he got beat out by Dwayne Haskins, and for everyone who's sitting there going, boy, what was Ohio State thinking? Haskins threw 50 touchdown passes that year. And was player of the year in the Big Ten. So it wasn't like Ohio State made a mistake, okay? That worked out pretty well for them, too. But Burrow going to LSU, he got there late the first year, meaning he came in August with everyone else. His best play was later in the year. If you want to punch up a really good game that year, punch him up in the Fiesta Bowl against UCF. When he came back from that horrific blindside hit on the interception he threw and had a big game. Then it kept getting better. And better and better. And the thing I keep pointing to is most of the time when a guy wins a Heisman, we point to one game during the year where it was kind of a little bit of an average game. And boy, did he open the door. Burrow didn't have any of those games. It just kept getting better against better opponents. So do I see him having the same type of impact right away? No, because LSU was clearly a dominant team. And look at the number of receivers they're going to give us for the NFL, the number of offensive linemen, et cetera. But is he a good football player who I expect to get better? I don't think there's any question about that.
Charles, it's great talking to you. Hopefully we'll talk again soon before the NFL draft, talk more about it. And stay safe, and I appreciate you coming on.
You do the same, and everyone can hear our voices. And again, to everyone on the front lines, thank you.
Absolutely.
Care.
Thank you, Charles. Charles Davis of NFL Network. We know that everybody out there is saying, hey, I want to see some college basketball this time of year. Well, you can tune in to CBS and CBS Sports Network all week long for NCAA Tournament Rewind and relive some of the best moments from March Madness. We'll get to some of your calls coming up. When we come back, old friend of mine, but he's doing a great job on VSiN, which does a good job of kind of analyzing all the aspects of gambling and sports. Patrick Maher will join me. He's out in Vegas, so curious also to see what's going on out there. Evan Roberts here on The Fan and CBS Sports Radio until 2 o'clock Eastern Time.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.